prize. I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus. Lifting my shame, I'll praise to his name.
Jesus today. Shall we turn to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel? John 14. Verse 25. These things, says Jesus, have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We would continue with these messages on the benefits of Jesus' name. And the benefit we have before us is that of the Comforter, or the Holy Ghost. As we read here, that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Jesus is trying to comfort his disciples. As we have seen a number of times, chapters 13 through 17, where all seemingly took place in the upper room. This is the night he was arrested. He would be crucified very shortly after that. And so he is telling them that he is going to go away and trying to prepare them for that, promising here in these verses that when he goes away, then the Comforter is going to come unto them. First thing I want to notice here is that the entire Trinity is included in this endeavor. The Comforter, that's the Holy Ghost. Then we read of the Father, and he is going to send the Holy Ghost in my name, in the name of Jesus. Some years ago, quite a number of years ago, there was a group of people that became enamored with the power of the Holy Ghost. They love that power. They love those gifts to the point that they use them, but they also misused and abused them. And then there were those who decided that since the Father is in heaven, the Son also has gone away into heaven. The Holy Ghost is the only one here, and He's the one in charge. Their followers were encouraged to center their lives around the power of the Holy Ghost. And that is not right. That is not Scripture. We will try to put that in perspective as we go on with this message. But the first thing we want to see is that, yes, the Holy Ghost is indeed the active agent of the Godhead. Go back clear to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the second verse. The Spirit of God moved or brooded upon the face of the waters, and we see the evidence of the Spirit of God moving throughout creation. Then there are those tremendous times out throughout the Scripture where that we see the Spirit moved this one or that one, that is the prophets and all of these, in order to do, in order to accomplish the will of God. The Holy Spirit was the active agent in the life of Jesus. We read it in Luke 4:18, as Jesus quotes from the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? Because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, and all those other wonderful things that Jesus did at His first advent. I have enjoyed Hebrews 9:14 so much over the years. It tells us that Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, it was the power of the Holy Ghost that enabled Jesus to go to the cross and to accomplish the fullness of God's plan for Him. We also read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "We," referring to you and I, "are changed into the same image," that is of Christ, "from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." He is still active in this world, but the operations of God do not center around the Holy Ghost. He is not in charge. Jesus is still the head of His body. Those of the group that I mentioned a while ago just intended for everyone to bow before them because they were led of the Spirit of God. That can be true. Many times it is not true. There are people that say, "Well, I just couldn't help it. I had to do what I did because the Spirit did that." No, you didn't. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The Holy Ghost is not a dynamic force which forces people and is dominant over them. It is imperative that we understand what it means that God sent the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. When we do, there is tremendous benefit given to us for our lives. Here we read in our text that the Father, or the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. We have already noted that that means that power of Jesus' name comes because He went to the cross and God raised Him from the dead. And thus, He has this glorious power in so many different ways, as we've already seen in these messages. This one is especially mentioned, as we have noted before, in Acts 2:33, there on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was explaining this great phenomenon of power, this great demonstration of speaking in tongues and the appearances of tongues of fire on all of them, and the way that these people were collectively giving glory to God. And Peter said, He has, that is Jesus, has shed forth this which you now see and hear. John 16:7, Jesus said, If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. He had to go to the cross in order to enable all of God's provisions through redemption, as we have seen a number of times. Coming in Jesus' name, we've also seen that it means coming as though Jesus himself were there. For example, we pray in Jesus' name. We come to the Father in exactly the same manner, the same spirit that Jesus did. If people really come to Jesus, or come to the Father in the name of Jesus, they will come to God as their Father, because that's the way Jesus did. They will come to Him in all confidence, in all assurance, that He knows exactly what He is doing. That is coming in Jesus' name as He did. That same principle is applied in this. The power of the Holy Ghost came in the name of Jesus, meaning that He came like unto Jesus. This is seen here in these verses. You will notice in verse 26, He is the Comforter. Now back up to verse 16. I will pray the Father. In all of this, I want to keep in mind that Jesus is the director. Though there are those who tried to tell us that our lives should center around the Holy Ghost, make no mistake, Jesus is still the head of His body, and He is still directing everything that is going on in this world, even the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we see here, I will pray the Father, He shall give you another Comforter. What does He mean by another Comforter? He means another Comforter like unto Jesus Himself. This whole segment is about the fact that Jesus is going away, and He has found a way to comfort and to help and to aid His people after He has gone into glory. This word Comforter means an intercessor. It means a consoler, an advocate, a comforter. I like Vine's definition. It's just condensed down in this way, signifying that the Holy Ghost is one called alongside to help. He helped Jesus. Already demonstrated that, as we've seen. Jesus says, I want to supply that same comfort to you. And so the Holy Spirit would be doing what Jesus did when He was in bodily presence here in this world. Let us notice these verses 16 and 17, because they give us much information as to what we can expect, what we can claim with this Comforter that has come in the name of Jesus, or as Jesus' representative, as we might say. I will pray the Father, He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide. There is a constancy about the Holy Spirit, and we'll see why in just a moment. But He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. This will clear up another myth concerning the power of the Holy Ghost. There are many In our world today, that insist you are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost the day you believe on Jesus. That can't be true. Because we find here that the world does not receive him. A sinner does not receive him. Only a Christian, only a believer can receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And so the world cannot receive him because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Then here is another key verse, or part of the verse. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus signifies that there is a change with the disciples concerning the power of the Holy Ghost. He is with you. This is true of every believer. He is with you, but he is going to be in you. That is a reference to the day of Pentecost, when the power of the Holy Spirit descended upon that 120 and actually entered into them, dictating, as it were, or influencing them to speak, enabling them to speak in other tongues. And so we find out that there is a difference in the Spirit being with you and in you. Those who have accepted his glorious offer of receiving the power of the Holy Ghost, as did Peter and those on the day of Pentecost, who spoke with other tongues as a sign, indeed, the Spirit is now within you. The Comforter is within you. And this is what Jesus wanted to convey to them at this time. There are two separate experiences here. Being saved and then being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now back up just a little bit. This group of which I spoke earlier enlarged constantly on the gifts of the Spirit. Those gifts are wonderful. They are to be operational in the church, but they are not to be predominant, as many seem to think. Paul devotes an entire chapter to explain them, 1 Corinthians 12. But at the end of it, he says, I show unto you a more excellent way. People go to two extremes on this. When he says, I show unto you a more excellent way, there are those, see there, they're over, they're done, eliminate them. He didn't say that. He did not tell us to eliminate the gifts of the Spirit at all. He simply said, I show you a more excellent way in order to operate them in your own lives. And this is the beauty of it, as he goes on into 1 Corinthians 13. The more excellent way is the way of divine love. And who would guess it? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? The power of the Holy Ghost. We can't live, we can't overcome, we can't get the fullness of what God wants without the power of the Holy Ghost. But it must be put into perspective, and we must allow the power of the Holy Ghost to do what he will do at the direction of our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to something that is supersedes the gifts. Again, there are those who would see there. His real mission is teaching. Just forget about the gifts. No, Scripture tells us to put it in perspective and to gain the balance of it. The primary ministry of the Holy Spirit is here in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Now go back over to verse 26 of this same chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. This Spirit of truth has been sent to teach you all things. And what are they? Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Again, emphasize Jesus is the director. The Holy Ghost does not operate independent of him, as some have suggested. I want to enlarge on that ministry of the Holy Ghost. Let's turn to the 16th chapter of John and go down to verse 12. This is before the advent of the Holy Ghost. He has been promised. Read earlier in this chapter, Jesus continues to reinforce, to reiterate the promise of the Holy Ghost. He will not come until 50 days after the resurrection on the day of Pentecost. And so we read here in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Did you know this is true of every person who has not been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost? Jesus has many things to say, and yet until men are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, they really cannot bear them. The sad part is many people do not want to go into these deeper truths. They're satisfied just to paddle around in the shallow waters and never reach out into the depths that God has promised for us. And so, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, that is, this is going to change. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. And I want to notice, he will guide you. How many times have you ever been in a strange place, a strange building, or a strange situation, and you wished you had someone that would just take you by the hand, so to speak, and guide you through all of the maze that was coming? That's the job of the Holy Ghost. If men will only do that, if they will simply submit to his power, he will literally guide you. There are others who say, oh no, no one can know all truth. I beg to differ with you. Scripture tells us right here, he will guide you into all truth. I am confident that is possible. But I'm also confident it will take us a lifetime to do it. I have said more than once, the day we stop learning God's word is the day we stop growing. We need to know, to understand. We need for God to, the power of the Holy Ghost, to open up, to unveil truth. And I want to emphasize this point. Showing truth, unveiling truth, is not just for the purpose of showing us something that nobody else knows. When he says he'll guide you in all truth, he means exactly that, you. He will guide me. It is the truth that affects my life. This is what's so important. He will reveal that which is true and that which is living and that which is beneficial for my life in order that I might grow up into all Christ in all things. It must become, the Holy Ghost must become that personal guide in our own experience. Here's another one for you. He may reveal things that you're not always able to share with other people until exactly the right moment. They're just for you. This is personal. And this is the kind of relationship that we are to have with the Holy Ghost, just as we have this personal intimacy with Jesus. I am another comforter, as the Holy Ghost would say. And so, he will guide you into all truth. Notice further, he shall not speak of himself. You see, the Holy Ghost is not here, as those suggested, to push his own agenda and to do what he wants to do. He shall not speak of himself. What will he speak of? Whatsoever he shall hear. Well, what is he hearing? He's hearing from Jesus. Jesus already said he's here to bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I've already said. This is the mission of the Holy Ghost in our own lives when we receive him in the name of Jesus. And so he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And I love this last one because it is so applicable for our day, and so many people seem to not care. It's frustrating when men seem to not realize the day in which we are living, the day of the coming of the Lord. Notice this promise. He will show you things to come. He will. He will reveal those signs and wonders that point to the second coming of Jesus. And I'll tell you, there is nothing, there is not a message more important for the church to preach than the coming of Jesus. Many of them are not. We can't do anything about that. But that is the message that should be preached. That message should be on the tip of every tongue of every preacher and pastor across the world. Jesus is coming so very quickly. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to us. It is vitally important that we also understand, as he said in verse 12, you cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Ghost is come, that makes a difference. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written. You will notice that the reference is always the Word of God. This is what the reference for our lives must be. I am appalled at some of the things that are going on in our world, forbidden by the Scripture, and yet some people seem to be able to ignore them or excuse them. Let us understand that our own lives must be regulated by the standard of God's Word as it is written. We can't make the whole world understand that, but we can certainly have that kind of power over our own lives. And so as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's this same Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Did you know that the Spirit is not searching for those as though he didn't know what was there? What does it mean when he says he searches all things, yea, the deep things of God? He's searching for those things that apply to me in my experience right now. Oh, the personal power of the Holy Ghost in our lives at the direction of Jesus. Again, he does not magnify his own self. His objective is to promote the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will indeed lead us into all truth. That means all the truth of Paul's gospel. Because God chose a special man for a special time, for a special deep message for those of the church who are willing to listen to it. And then, as we note, he shall glorify me. Not himself. The Holy Ghost does not call attention to himself or to his works. He shall glorify me. He will take, he shall receive of mine. See, the Holy Ghost receives from the hand of Jesus. He shall receive of mine, and then he shall show it unto you. This is the promise that we can take in our lives today when the Holy Ghost, this is a benefit of receiving the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. The full provision given through this other comforter now is given to us. We must, at all costs, allow him to guide you into all truth.